January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court, in a 7-2 decision, decided on abortion on demand. There was actually a companion decision the same day called Doe v. Bolton. The two decisions together basically gave us abortion on demand, and now here we are several years later, and we have more than 60 million or so abortions in America. By the way, one of the two dissenters, Justice Byron White, who was appointed by John F. Kennedy, said this is an act of raw judicial power. And I've never forgotten that quote. And not that I remember that from that day, but I've read about it. Now, in the meantime, the largest provider of abortion in America is, of course, Planned Parenthood. And from time to time, there are people associated with Planned Parenthood that get saved, or they get reacquainted with Christ, and they leave Planned Parenthood and disagree with it. One of those is Ramona Trevino, who is from Texas, and in fact, she was the manager of a Planned Parenthood abortion referral facility in Sherman, Texas. But in 2011, mainly because of a lot of prayers and then exposure to the gospel and so forth, she renewed her faith in Jesus Christ and left that clinic. And just recently, at the Chicago March for Life 2018, Ramona Trevino was the keynote speaker. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And at this point, we'll let Ramona go ahead and wax eloquent. And welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Sure. And it's really, in the big picture of things, January 22nd is really a sad memorial when you consider all the people that this nation has killed in abortion. But I've gone ahead and waxed eloquent. I want you to go ahead and wax eloquent. Tell us about your testimony, and especially how you changed from being pro-abortion rights to pro-life.
Right, right. Well, in 2008, I began, accepted a position working for a director of a Planned Parenthood facility in Sherman, Texas. And one of the reasons that I accepted that position was, one, because of my ignorance about who Planned Parenthood is, and two, because we didn't perform abortions. And so that was how I justified working for Planned Parenthood, because we didn't provide abortions at our facility. I felt that my hands were clean and that I didn't, I wasn't directly involved in, facilitating in abortions in any way. And I think it's really important to share that, that message with people, because I think that's why we're in the position that we're in today, 45 years after Roe, is because of that indifference, and believing that because maybe one personally hasn't had an abortion or one personally hasn't, been affected, that somehow we're removed from the issue. And that's not the case. And so after 3 years of working for Planned Parenthood and, of course, referring for abortions and, facilitating in that way, I owe it to God. I mean, there's no really other explanation other than, God's grace, planting seeds and finding ways to enter into my heart and really reveal the truth to me about this organization, but also to reveal himself to me through the people out on the sidewalk, people, who were praying for 40 days and who partook in the 40 Days for Life vigil, and really just even through my own Catholic faith, and really rediscovering, my faith and understanding of what it really means to be a Christian. It's one thing to say that you identify as one, but it's another to live your life that way. And so, after those 3 years, I finally was able to take a leap of faith and walk away from Planned Parenthood.
Huh. Okay. Describe the environment there. Now, here's a situation where, as you say, it wasn't directly involved in abortions, but there were abortion referrals. But what was the atmosphere like in general? The employees, et cetera?
Right, right. Well, I worked at a small facility. I was part of the Planned Parenthood of North Texas at the time, so it included Dallas and Fort Worth. And so Dallas and Fort Worth were the two locations where they had the surgical centers, and that's where the actual abortions were performed. And then they had, like 26, Planned Parenthood facilities that were, kind of spread out throughout the Metroplex and throughout the, region, that were still under that same affiliate. And these were the Planned Parenthood centers that provided your pap smears and your birth control and your STD tests and so on. And these were the locations that I worked in. And my particular location was very small. It was in a smaller city, so it was about 30,000 people, and we were a small staff. But the environment, you know, you immediately know there's something, you know, kind of different about this location and kind of, you know, who the way I saw it, the best way I can explain it is that I went in thinking it's not any different than a gynecologist's office, you know, working for a doctor's office. But you could tell, even though you had that mindset, that it wasn't that way. You know, you could tell that there wasn't a patient-doctor relationship because, number one, there's no doctors. And you kind of started to kind of sense that there was always this pressure to sell, sell, sell. And so ultimately, you know, I tell people, you know, there's this, even within the employees, you know, when you go to staff meetings and you, you know, do attend these meetings with other, you know, staffers from across the affiliate, you can tell this that there's this attitude that everyone has. You know, it's not a positive environment. You know, everyone's kind of cranky and, you know, it seems like women have a chip on their shoulder. You know, there's so much story behind, you know, and I tell people this all the time, you know, the people that work for Planned Parenthood, you can tell that there's this brokenness that is in each and every one of them that really kind of attracts them to this type of work. And I think that that's the consensus, because that's kind of how Satan seeps in the first place, is through our brokenness.
Were you broken?
Absolutely. You know, I didn't realize it at the time until after I had my conversion and left. But yeah, I was. I was a teen mom. I, you know, had my daughter when I was 17. No regrets there. However, the father of my daughter was abusive, and I spent almost 10 years with him in that abusive relationship. And so I don't think I ever healed from that once I was free. And I went into Planned Parenthood kind of with the mindset that I was going to help other women prevent from, you know, ever getting themselves in those situations in the first place. So it wasn't that I regretted having a baby or choosing life, because abortion was never an option for me. But
why is that? What do you mean by that? Because of your Catholic convictions?
No, I think it's all, like, I look back and I think, God, you know, that's God's grace.
That's a prayer. Yeah.
Because there's no way to explain how, you know, at 16, I become pregnant and abortion isn't even thinkable. Like, it's not even an option. It doesn't even cross my mind.
Right.
And so I say, you know, to people, you know, I think we're all at our core pro-life. But because I didn't even really know about the issue, I wasn't familiar with the issue of abortion growing up. I grew up in a very small rural town, and you just didn't hear about those things. And so I was very removed from that issue as a kid, as a teenager. And so when I got pregnant, you know, I just knew. I knew I was a mother. You know, I knew that was a baby.
Isn't that interesting? Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I was going to say, I think that's what makes it, you know, so sad, is that when I did work for Planned Parenthood, that knowing, I knew that these were babies. I knew that these mothers were pregnant, you know, with human beings, and that they were going to take the lives of their baby. But again, that's where that indifference comes in, where you're just like, you know, this doesn't affect me. This is not my choice. This is her choice. And it's just so sad, you know, to look back and think that I ever thought that way.
Were there any incentives that were given, you know, like bonuses, you know, if you refer for X number of abortions or something like that, you'll get a pay raise or, you know, free pizza or something. I mean, I don't know, whatever.
Right. No, and in our particular affiliate, we didn't have those. And I think that happens more in the actual abortion facilities.
Oh.
But one of the things that I do mention in my book is that we did have incentives at one point when we were trying to sell emergency contraception. We had a backstock of Plan B that was going to expire, and they needed to get rid of it. And so that was the one time that we did have an incentive, where we got $50 gift cards, Visa gift cards, to the center that sold the most Plan B. And so, as you can imagine, there's, you know, some issues with that, because you're selling Plan B to Medicaid patients who don't need it. You're selling medication that's going to expire soon, you know, to women who have this false sense of security that possibly when they do use this emergency contraception that it's going to work. And at some point, you know, either it's not going to work or it's going to be expired, which would, you know, reduce the effectivity of the actual Plan B itself. And so, you know, I would say that these are ways in which Planned Parenthood ensures that they have future abortion clients.
Sure. I'm sure you're familiar with Carol Everett, or at least you've heard of her before.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I interviewed her many, many years ago, but she used to be a part owner of some clinics, abortion clinics. And one of the things she said, and then she became very strongly pro-life and is totally opposed to it. She said that one of the things they did was really try to hook young people on contraceptives, because then they knew that, you know, they wouldn't consistently take the pills or wouldn't consistently follow through on everything. And boom, they'd get pregnant, and then we'd get the abortion, and then she'd get the $25 for that particular abortion. And she said that doesn't sound like much, but, you know, when it's one here, one here, one here, one here, you know, all within a day, and it just keeps adding up. And she was on her way to becoming a millionaire through it. But I want you to focus on the idea of young people getting hooked on contraceptives for the purpose of them having an unwanted pregnancy so that the abortion facility coffers could ring.
Right, right. Well, and I think that's, and that's true. You know, I think that's one of those things that, you know, it's not said that that's what we're doing, but when you look at Planned Parenthood and how much money they make off of just abortions, you know, they make millions and millions of dollars in profits off of abortions. And yet they, you know, have this false claim that it only consists of 3% of their services, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
You know, what people are not realizing is why are women getting abortions? They get abortions because they're pregnant. Well, why are they pregnant? Because they had sex, right? So we need women, we need young girls, we need people to have sex, because if they're not having sex and they're not getting pregnant, then we don't make money off of abortion. So there's not, I would say Planned Parenthood is not in the business of any prevention whatsoever, because preventing abortion would mean that they would lose money. And so they need to feed that abortion industry somewhere. And it comes from these non-abortion facilities. It comes from them infiltrating into our school systems and our education and trying to drive a wedge between young people and their parents, and from their morality or any sense of morality they have left, get them hooked on sex, get them to confide in Planned Parenthood, trust Planned Parenthood with all the answers, start birth control, because Planned Parenthood's answer for everything is birth control. You know, we saw so many young people. And that was, I think, what was most heartbreaking, is that, you know, we saw girls as young as 12 and 13 and 14 years old who were promiscuous.
Yeah.
And who already had contracted STDs. And so, and instead of telling them, you know what, this is not healthy for you, this is not a good lifestyle, this is only going to create problems, no, our solution, our answer is to put them on birth control. And so it's basically cleaning them up, put them on birth control, send them out, and know that, you know, they're irresponsible. You know, I always say you can't get your kids to take their vitamin every day. What makes you think they're going to take their birth control pill every day at the same time?
Yeah.
You know, exactly the same time in order for it to be most effective.
Wow.
And so if you know that they're going to fail at that, you know, they're going to become pregnant. And when they become pregnant, they come back to Planned Parenthood because that's who they trust, quote unquote, trust with the answer and the solution, and then Planned Parenthood sends them to the abortion facility.
Yeah.
And so it's this cycle, you know, this constant cycle that, you know, that's why they're so adamant in getting into the school systems, into our education systems, because they need future patients.
Wow. All right, we have about half a minute to go. I want to refer people to your book, Redeemed by Grace. And how about if you do this? Why don't you tell us, in 30 seconds or less, what you basically said at the 2018 Chicago March for Life.
So I basically shared that the indifference that we have in this country toward abortion is really a poison, and that after 45 years, this is why, you know, we've had 60 million babies perish, you know, because of abortion, and that if we want to make a difference, you know, we have to stop the indifference that we're showing towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that it was surrounded by the theme of love saves lives. And that's really what it boils down to, because indifference is the opposite of love. And so we need to,
excellent,
you know, rethink what love means and start loving so that we can save lives.
Ramona Trevino, thank you so much for being with us. RedeemedByGraceBook.com for more information. Ramona, God bless and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.